Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kewa.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moments so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello!
Hello!
Hey!
Yay!
We're back.
We are in person.
Can you believe it?
I'm staring into the whites of your eyes.
Oh, no.
Why are you so close? Get away.
This is so nice. It's been so many weeks.
It's been so many weeks.
And for why?
For what reason?
Give me one good reason.
No
reason.
Should we do a little update?
Little Sarah. Update.
Chest update, please.
Still got no boobies.
Let's go.
Hold on. They just won't grow back. They said they'd grow back. I just did this for a part, you know.
Imagine for a part. Imagine that's what you wanted.
They cast me as a dude. I was like, sure.
You know what? It is like, because you were always obviously like wearing kind of baggy shirts and stuff. But it is really, and it's not like you had a lot, but it is really different.
Yeah, is it? Oh, that's nice.
It's so, so different.
I keep saying on stage, like I keep being like, I went on stage a couple of weeks ago, I was like, 6 weeks ago, a man chopped my breasts off.
Yeah.
And nobody's noticed.
Well, because you were in the bindings, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it's, yeah. Don't you think? Like it really is different.
No booby. I'm trying like, to you put can my really shoulders see. Up a bit more as well. Shoulders back, not up.
Oh, because you used to go like this.
Yeah. You find this with a lot of like trans mass people.
Yeah.
Just naturally hunch because you're trying to flatten that line.
Mm.
And so now, yeah, just getting used to like putting my shoulders back and stuff. I have to kind of try and remember.
Leading with your chest.
Leading with my chest, yeah. Putting my chest in people's faces, going.
Rubbing.
Like pointing at them and being like, do you know what? The customer is always right.
Yeah. You have to say the customer is always right.
Wherever you are. That's very important. I say it to Louisa at home. She doesn't like it.
No.
She says, you're not paying me.
Yeah.
You aren't a customer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good.
Sounds toxic and I'm so excited about
really,
that for you.
Really toxic, really wow. Unhealthy, really unhappy.
Yeah. That's so great. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
That's what I want.
That's what you want. You want no boobies.
No boobies.
And a little bit of that toxic masculinity, please.
And like an unpleasant atmosphere at home. It's great. Good stuff.
One toxic masculinity, please.
The customer is always right. I posted about it on Instagram. And I
that
lost
was delightful.
2,000 followers.
That's nothing.
2,000 people unfollowed me, which I was like, why were they following me in the first place?
But that doesn't that happen to you all the time? That happens to me all the time.
What, people drop out?
I lose followers all the time.
I've never had like a mass exodus like that though.
Right.
And like if I've had people on
they were just watching you for the tits.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to imagine that.
Oh no! It's my favourite bit.
What?
Somebody really zooming in, trying to see the bounce.
Yeah. That's what they loved. Yeah. That's what they loved to do. You can't even zoom in on Instagram videos. So, you know, it's really impressive.
Come for the boobs, stay for the jokes.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. I'll sit through the jokes. 2000. As long as you keep moving around.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. I thought it was wild.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So funny. Because I was just like, what part? I mean, obviously, sometimes people just see a funny clip they follow. They don't really think about the person. I've done it before where I've like followed someone and then I've realized that their like political values don't align with mine, and I've gone, oh, and I really like that, and I've like,
yeah,
unfollowed. But yeah, I mean, there was a part of me that was like, oh, is this bad? And then I was like, I mean, those people were never gonna like buy a ticket to a show or anything.
They weren't.
Like that.
No.
And if they did, it wasn't gonna be a good show.
They were not gonna buy another one for the next one. Well, I like this actually. Now, anytime I have like a you know, 300 people leave or whatever, I'm just gonna be like, but I still have my boobs.
The quality of your boobs has declined. Yeah, every choice on Instagram is boob related.
The real takeaway though from your post,
oh yeah,
was just the absolute outpouring of love.
So overwhelming.
It was incredible. I was texting you because I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was amazing. Just the amount of people that were just so positive, and like even some people who came in with like slightly weird things would then like do like a full U-turn and be like, pleased for you though. And you're like, yeah, that's so amazing. Yeah.
I got more likes on the comment I put underneath your post than my last post.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a static post do that, like get that many numbers.
No.
It was crazy. But
it was
really
so
cool.
Lovely. Yeah. It was nice. A real, like, you know, we worry about the world and sometimes, and this was like, yeah, a little bit of like, oh, faith restored a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. There was so much nice stuff. I was kind of keeping an eye on it and deleted any negativity. There really genuinely wasn't loads of it. I think there's probably like between like 5 and 8 people popped up saying negative stuff.
That's nothing.
But I was like, I'm just going to do it. Like normally I'd leave it because it'd be like engagement. But I was like, I just want, if somebody comes to this post, sees it and feels good about it, I want the response to just be like overwhelmingly positive and there not be any arguments in any kind of, so I just got rid of it all.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me because I was like, this is so much less than I expected on this.
Well, it's nothing. It's, I mean, compared to the positive outpour, the negative comments, like 5-8 negative comments, what is it, like 1,000 people that said something positive?
The thing that creeped me out,
right,
though,
yeah,
that,
get
like,
into it.
The picture of me now as an adult, I've got my head down. Mm-hmm. The picture of me as a child with my head up.
Yeah.
So many people were like, you're like all these people being like, you're so smoldering, you look so like all this stuff, like you're so beautiful.
And I'm sorry, but it was 2 thirst traps. It was. And anyone who's seen the post will agree with me. And you now, whatever point you're now trying to make about that people were perving on Little Sarah was perving on us. Okay?
Little Sarah started
Little
it.
Little Sarah looked out through the lens into 2023 and was like, what's up?
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. I see you looking. 100%.
Can I buy you a pineapple juice?
100%. The puka shell? Oh, yeah. The puka shell?
It was like a peace sign.
Yeah.
On a piece of string.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I'm holding a pool cue.
Yeah. It was a thirst trap. It was 100% a thirst trap. Because I commented, Little Sarah has such boy band energy.
Yeah.
And so many people liked that. And boy bands are just thirst traps.
Boy bands is just sexy children.
It's sexy children.
Sexy children made legal.
Yeah, 100%. You and Nick from the Backstreet Boys in that photo.
Full Nick.
Yeah. So that was the thirst trap. And then the second one, obviously, like for very obvious reasons, was a thirst trap.
Yeah.
You were topless.
I was topless.
Hello.
Plasters nice. On my nips.
That's...
Plasters. Every...
Nothing gets people thirsty like plasters.
Plasters. Yeah. You got all those plaster... that people who like whose kink is plasters.
Yeah. So many people.
Yeah, you got all of them.
I've just remembered that the
Jamie
whole time...
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, that's why she's into me. She's into the plaster stuff.
Yeah.
She DMs
she's
me
a plaster
every day.
Head.
What kind of plasters are you wearing? Describe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
I just remembered that every time I had to, because I don't have to do it anymore, but every time I had to put plasters on my nips, I would think to the tune of Put a Ring on It by Beyonce. I'd be like, I got plasters on my nips, a man on my hip. I'd be walking
that's
around.
Great.
So that's my news.
That's what that song's about.
Yeah, that's what that song's about. It's about.
That's so
I'll never
great.
Be able to hear that song plasters the same way again,
no.
I think now.
Yeah, yeah. I've ruined it. Sorry.
No, you've improved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Feminist
because
anthem.
If you like me, you should have put a ring on it. Mm. That doesn't feel like the kind of feminist statement that we'd want.
Yeah, whereas it's if you like me, then you should have put a plaster on
yeah,
your
Yeah, that's mm. that's lovely. Mm.
That's love.
That's mm. love.
That is love.
That's motherly love.
This one more update on the nips.
Oh?
So, sorry if this is too much information, but I previously, in my past life, had quite a lot of hair around my nipples, right? The hairs, very confused right now, because they've grown back. They don't know. It's like
they don't know where to go.
It's like a bunch of people that have lost their tent at a festival. They're all stood around.
But presumably, the hairs are more welcome now than ever.
Oh yeah, I quite like them.
Yeah,
but it's like they're all like. It looks like they're all stood around going, it was right here.
This area used to be hilly. I'm sure we were on a hill.
Yeah. So that's good fun.
This is really good. Mm-hmm. The nipple updates have been good, I have to say. I'm gonna miss those.
It's been hard to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've managed.
I feel like hair is probably the last of the stages.
The last bastion of
yeah.
updates. Well, it's fertile ground. What can I say?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. We have growth.
According to the hairs.
Houston, we have growth. What about you guys?
I don't know if I have an update like that.
I'm being very rude.
Like that?
How are your nips?
Ooh, okay.
Mm.
Same.
Yeah.
No change.
Yeah,
no
same change. As usual.
Same as huge.
I have a hair update. Well, I did have a hair update.
Oh, the mullet?
No, not that. Do you remember when, it was when we were recording an episode, I forgot to mention it to Sarah, but me and Mickey were chatting, and Mickey was like, are you trying to grow a moustache, Lucas?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was trying to for Movember as a joke, because
yeah.
I can't grow facial hair.
Oh, my God, it's gone.
yeah, it's gone now. But you were like, oh, that's quite good for like, this was at like the... 14th.
No, it was
9th of November, and you were like, oh, that's quite good for a couple of days. I was like, no, this has been like 2 weeks.
Oh no,
it was incredible.
I shaved it off this morning because I was like, it's so ridiculous now, it looked terrible.
I really thought you started like 3 days before.
No, it was like 2 weeks progress.
It was amazing.
It was so bad, but it was really funny.
I think it will happen for you though.
I'm waiting out.
I think it will. My cousin, he's my age, 30, recently told me that he went to the supermarket and he was like buying something, and the guy behind the till was like this little guy, like teenager basically, and he looked at my cousin and was like, what age were you when you started growing a beard? I think he said, how old are you, and like checked his ID or something. He was like, what age were you when you started growing a beard? And my cousin was like, 30 years old. Like, it's this has been no, because
he's like an inspiration to that
not,
guy.
I could not grow facial hair, and now he has healthy facial hair.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
But I think it was a real bro moment of being like, you hang in there, buddy. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Patrick still can't.
Oh, yeah.
He's into his 30s now.
But I think it means that you keep your head hair for longer. If you don't, because if you grow a beard sooner for men, it means that you bald sooner.
Yeah, there's something, it's about testosterone, right?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's balanced.
So is it the same
like
hairs, but they just disappear?
They just migrate down, yeah.
Really? Well, what about the dudes who can do both?
They're genetically
blessed.
They
have it all, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I have one who isn't.
My brother can do both.
Can he?
Good, healthy beard.
Can
nice
he?
Nice head of hair.
That's what you want. You want
I don't
everywhere.
Think Patrick will ever be able to, because he's got nothing.
But you're like, Patrick has such a
he's done nothing. So this, yeah, this is not just a, and I'm not just talking about beard. I'm just talking about like personality.
Yeah, he's got nothing going
He's got nothing to offer. And it's not gonna happen. He's morals. In his 30s now.
Yeah.
He's in a supermarket. How old were you when you got your morals?
What should we do?
Yeah.
We've got hair update, hair update.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what I looked up on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Hey, we had one person who said, I want Wikipedia, and I was like, that's enough for me.
I did not see this person say they wanted Wikipedia.
Yeah, it was on Instagram. How dare you? I'm looking at this is a terrible podcast.
Did they comment?
I'm looking it up right now.
Did they comment on
something? Yeah, they comment on it.
I don't believe this for a second.
This is BS. This is actual BS.
This is white hot BS.
This is white hot BS, actually. Here, comments.
Imagine if it'd gone.
It's a, like it's the account is like Mickey Overman 01. It's your second account.
Mickey Overman dreamt it. I want Wikipedia.
Oh! What's okay, a bomb idea? Is that bad?
We need. Sounds like a. No, a bomb is good, I think.
Okay, we got two people. We got one bomb. Saying we, and then in brackets, well, I want Wikipedia. And then one person saying, Wikipedia sounds like a bomb idea. If there's one thing we all love, it's random facts about things we have no business knowing. Thank you.
Can I?
Ristro4.
Can you give me the names of the people that.
Ristro4.
It's an anagram of Mickey.
Yeah.
If you don't have to like be on Instagram as your self, because yourself is your brand, like if you're a comic, then it really is so fun because I feel like people use Instagram names the way we did like our first email addresses.
Do you know
what I mean? Like you could just be anything.
Yeah.
Or your Club Penguin username.
Somebody commented on one of my videos, really nice comment, but her name was like Toxic Tracy or something like that.
You were like, Tracy, babe.
Yeah, Tracy, you don't seem toxic.
Well, listen, I don't know. Right. This is not that really a cool fact, but
should I do a jingle?
Yeah, but this will be a bad one, but I will.
Wikipedia. Welcome to Wikipedia.
Okay, why is it so weak?
I didn't go in with confidence.
You didn't, but the melody was like really good.
I thought you might cut me off.
No, I really liked it. The melody was so good, but you were just sort of like a...
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Welcome to Wikipedia.
Ah!
Hey!
All right. So yeah, good. No, it did feel better. That was a better take.
That was good. Okay. This is, but not a... This won't be a good Wikipedia. But because, like, this... Okay. It's not really like a, hey, here's a fact. But I looked up the life of Guy Chambers, who was Robbie Williams' music... producer and writer. Because I watched the Robbie Williams documentary and like I was like, oh, this friendship is so lovely. And then halfway through, Robbie Williams is like, nah, I felt like it'd gotten to an end, so he just axed him. And I was like, oh my god,
really?
And I was
because I've started watching that, and the tone within it is like genuinely, I've been watching it thinking that he probably dies at some point.
Oh no, well, he doesn't. But thing is, like, he was like. He wrote Rock DJ and Angels. Angels is his biggest hit.
Mm. In the documentary, they make it quite clear that it saved his career.
Yes. I was like, why would you ask this guy? That's insane. And so basically, I was like really worried about Guy Chambers. But I just want everyone to know that he is absolutely thriving.
Oh, good.
He's thriving. He's like clearly very tired. I have no idea what Robbie Williams did or why he did this. But he's really thriving. He's doing so well. And he just wrote for like loads and loads and loads and loads of people. Like people like Kylie Minogue.
So it's probably the making of him, really, wasn't it?
I think it was, because in the documentary it says that he was like just going to be a teacher. Because
before he started working with Robbie.
Yes.
It sounds like his arc in the documentary is more interesting than Robbie's.
Well, I actually thought that because I was like... You know what, Robbie Williams, it's interesting because he's someone who like has mental health issues and has to do all of these like crazy big gigs whilst depressed, which is that's really interesting.
And he was so absurdly young when he was in Take That like I hadn't quite clocked that he was like 16. 5 or 6 years younger than all the
insanely
rest of them. Yeah,
young. That's crazy.
Yeah,
insanely young. So it's like. That is really interesting, and it's an interesting story. But I was really like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, but who's this guy?
Bring back guy.
Who's this guy? So yeah, that was the thing I looked up.
Well, that's really good Wikipedia.
Thank you.
That's great. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I will actually like spend some time on it and like come with like the interesting facts that I've learned. Not just, hey, this guy's doing well. I'll come with some facts.
I like the idea that Wikipedia is us, like we spend a week worrying about someone and then you tell us whether or not they're okay.
I could totally do that. I could 100% do that. Let's pick someone. If you're worried about anyone, then I can like be like, no, they're fine.
The next person I want you to give me an update on is the woman who had an affair with David Beckham.
Yeah, because they don't really address her in the documentary.
They really skate over that.
Okay,
I watched an interview with that after the documentary. I paused it and like watched the interview.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, I have to know who she is.
Yeah.
But Patrick, we were watching it, and Patrick was like, but did he cheat? And he was like, yeah, he 100% cheated.
Yeah.
He doesn't deny it in the documentary.
No,
does
he doesn't, but it's.
He doesn't admit it either.
It's like everyone's like, we know this happened.
It wasn't true.
We know this happened.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, that was really hard. And it's like, no, talk about it.
Yeah.
Tell us more. Talk about it. Okay, the nanny. Nanny, David Beckham, Wikipedia.
Was she a nanny or was she a.
She was his assistant, I think, or his PA.
Well, I'm pretty sure she was the nanny.
Oh, really?
Because that was like.
But he was. The thing was, that was when he was in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
And he was having lunch with her in the.
Yeah. Who was the nanny? Was that Jude Law?
And yes, that was Jude Law.
That was the nanny.
We should do a little update on like terrible fathers.
Yes.
A little section dedicated to them.
Terrible fathers. It is
bad dads.
It is
bad dads.
Very similar melody. Okay.
It is pretty funny, like how many of them have like fucked the nanny. Like that is really really funny.
Yeah. These poor nannies.
Yeah. But listen, the Beckham documentary, I did not. One, he was a footballer. This blew my mind.
He's so good.
Do you mean international supermodel David Beckham was a footballer?
Why don't we talk about this? That guy had some talent.
He was really. I did not know. Because I only really knew that he was like a big personality, like a big sort of like. Personality. Like, I knew he was a footballer. But I didn't know, of course I knew he was a footballer. David Beckham's right foot. David Beckham's left foot. Of course I knew he was a footballer.
That is a callback to something that happens in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a call forward.
Yeah.
It's a call forward. But yeah, so basically, like, I knew, obviously, he was a footballer, but I didn't know how good a footballer he was because I didn't live in this country at the time and I was quite young.
But I just think that the documentary really showed how much he fucked his legacy as a footballer. People are going to disagree with this heavily in that he was an amazing footballer, especially, like, in this country. But the fact that, like, he was basically ousted from British football because of Alex Ferguson, and he just decided to leave.
Decide to leave. Alex Ferguson was like,
he didn't go to like another team here. He went.
How
to,
could he? His dad would have killed him.
Yeah.
His dad was probably like Manchester United or nothing.
But then to go from Inter Milan to
LA Galaxy.
What a wild choice.
It was so funny. I had no idea.
So he was playing football for so much longer than people in this country will have like remembered him playing football because we wouldn't have heard
of him. But at that time, he had 75 children. And he needed
approximately
75 children. So he needed to be somewhere where he could actually be with his children. And I think it's like, it probably was like, he was really good, but probably was like, at this point, his career was going to
slow down.
Yeah, it was going to go slow down. So he might as well do
it. It was just after
LA.
His like athletic prime, I think.
Yeah,
they were
I think
saying.
So too.
I remember when I was watching that, I remember when I was younger, I had a huge poster of David Beckham on my ceiling.
Yeah, supermodel.
Yeah. But I just remembered it because I was like, I didn't even like David Beckham. Like, I wasn't that interested. It was just there. I didn't ask for the poster. I just remembered it.
Came with the house?
Yeah, basically.
It's pasted onto the wall.
He watched over me sleep.
You tried to pry it off.
I couldn't reach it, though.
You take it down, there's just another one underneath it.
That's so funny.
And it was like a really close-up like headshot of him.
Really?
Did you have another poster that you did of something you did love?
Oh, yeah, I had loads of Simpsons posters on my wall. Classic. I really liked the Simpsons. And then just David Beckham.
Just
I think my dad was like, he needs to be more into football.
Yeah. Right.
So he was like, David Beckham will watch over him.
David Beckham will watch him sleep.
Yeah. What posters did you have?
I had an Avril Lavigne poster.
Ah.
A really cool one where she's got, I think she's got like a skateboard or something.
That's pretty cool.
And a juice box. I think she's like drinking out of a straw. Anyway, it was cool.
Yeah.
I think I had a Dobby poster, like Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Just Dobby.
Dobby, yeah.
Wow, wild range of tastes.
Weird, actually. Very strange. Sarah there. Very strange. I can't remember what other posters. I had lots of different phases of posters. Like, I was very changeable, would take things down.
Yeah.
I definitely had some Simpsons stuff up on my bedroom. Like, some like...
But I was no very into like, Bart Simpson. No, like, naked women.
No,
where like
wasn't allowed naked women.
Where like your mum was like, oh, aspirational, and you're just like, yeah.
Super aspirational.
I had a map of Middle Earth. Do you want to stop the podcast?
I'm so upset.
Every time I start to think, Mickey's cool.
Mickey's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Then I mentioned the Lord of the Rings. I love the Lord of the Rings.
No, I did love Lord of the Rings. My brother and I.
Wouldn't it have been better if you were reading or watching it and then you could look at your wall and go, that's where they are right now?
Mm-hmm. I think I just had a big poster of kittens. I really wanted a cat.
Mm. Mm.
So I was like.
But where are they on the map? You don't know.
No idea where these kittens are in relation to Helm's Deep.
Yes. And that's. That, to me, is a flaw of anything.
My brother and I built a Lego version of that Battle of Helm's Deep.
This is the coolest you've ever been.
And he got his Warhammer paint, and we had a Lego person that had, like, long brown hair, and we painted it blonde for Legolas.
Ah!
Mm. Yeah. Lego Legolas.
Legolas! That's good!
It was
that's
good time. Good.
All right, that's the best. We're not going to top that, so we should get the guest in.
We have a guest. We've got a guest, because we're in the studio.
We got a guest.
Amazing guest.
We've already said we just recorded it.
Yeah.
We had a guest.
The guest
is, no, let's
been and gone.
Suspend disbelief.
Create the illusion.
We have a guest coming in.
I can hear him in the hall. He's coming down the stairs. Thud, 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 thud.
Yeah, do some introing.
Hello.
Oh, come in.
Nick nice Helms.
See you. Nick. Nice to see you. So come in and sit down. Scrape. That's the chair going
back. I can't
believe
how much more you committed to this than my theme tune.
Well, I care about this.
Oh.
This is based in reality.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry.
We understand it.
Our guest this week is Nick Helm.
Nick Helm!
Absolutely fantastic comedian, actor, performer,
mm-hmm.
writer.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Man.
Famously a man. Very, very talented.
So, so wonderful.
Musician?
Let's do it.
I think so. Yeah.
Musician?
I'm going to throw painter. That out there. Painter. Decorator.
Let's just give him everything.
Electrician.
Plumber.
Yeah.
So Nick Helm. So
He's here right now.
He's here. So let's get him in. We've really fucked this.
I'm staring into the whites of his eyes.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Let's bring him in.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up. Even if it's just £3 a month, that would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Nick Helm is here.
And we started.
Yeah, this is the beginning. Yeah, welcome. Right. We shout your name and then it's off.
And we're here.
Welcome to Thank Fuck for That. Thank you very much for doing this. It's lovely to have you.
Is there going
to
be swearing in this?
There's a bit of swearing in the title.
Right, and then none.
And then absolutely none.
Yeah, and then we said, please don't swear.
Yeah, I did a podcast where they just censored all my swearing and it was like,
that's
half of the half of the content.
Just a big long beep.
That's what they call me.
That's cool.
Well, it's great to have you on. This is a podcast about life-changing moments. Would you consider yourself somebody that dwells on the possibility of alternate paths, alternate lives?
No.
The multiverse?
No, not really. Not the multiverse. The multiverse. Yeah. No, not really. I don't think about it like that. I just think that I'm where I'm meant to be, and I'm quite philosophical about stuff.
That's an incredibly healthy lifestyle choice.
Well, it's taken a lot of time to get there.
Oh, you weren't always like this.
Well, I don't know. I think that life's a journey, isn't it? Not a destination.
Nick just winked at me.
That was for us. That was in the room.
Yeah, but I loved it so much.
Right, yeah, sure. Well, to quote Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, life's a journey, not a destination. So, what was the question?
Are you a dweller, basically? You dwell on things that have happened?
I dwell on things that have happened, but like mainly in terms of kind of like, oh, I wish I could have changed that or whatever. But like, I don't feel like there's an alternate reality where I should be somewhere else.
That's good. I think that's healthy. Do you think that's finding like enlightenment, or do you think it's accepting defeat?
I think it's probably a bit of both.
Straight in there.
I think it's probably a bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm constantly thinking I should have. I've gone wrong.
Oh really? What? Because we're in a shut down NHS building in the semi darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And you're my guest.
And I'm on your show.
There's so many different ways this could have gone for me.
It could have gone differently for everyone.
Mickey's
in the room,
my co-host.
I'm sure.
Lucas
we're,
is here.
We're both very anxious people.
Really anxious.
Oh,
really
I'm
anxious.
An anxious person. Yeah. Nice. But does that mean that you believe in the multiverse, Mickey?
Yes, and my anxiety sort of goes to outwards, so towards the multiverse.
Do you think that? So are you obsessed with a version of yourself that's a lot happier, doing a lot better?
Yeah. She's thriving.
But then you also have to take into account that out there as well, there's a version of you that's a lot less happy and doing a lot worse.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so then you just have to kind of like be grateful that...
I recently, I decided I'm going to think of it all differently.
These are my comedic hot takes.
I actually do think I should change my mindset. I thought the other day that I should think about life, I should believe in karma. And then, like, just have, like, this idea of, like, oh, it's someone else's fault. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's great.
Like, if someone...
I love that you were going, like, started that saying, like, I thought maybe I should have more of a positive outcome. I think maybe I should just blame somebody else for all
Yes, if someone else is to blame for all of this, that's great. Mm. Right. I really love that idea.
And
someone else fucked up.
Hang on. So you believe in karma?
So me in a previous life.
Right.
Not
like
the reincarnated version.
Not like a butterfly effect where karma, someone's being punished over there and that's had a knock-on effect on your life.
No. Not instant karma.
True karma, of
like reincarnation.
Right, is that what true karma is? It's reincarnation. Not just like you did something horrible and then 10 years later it comes back
No, that's flashy karma.
That's commercial karma.
But that's middle ground, isn't it? That's not like instant karma, and that's not like historic karma. That's
right. Yeah. That's a sort of middle ground
karma.
That's
spiritual karma, I suppose.
There's instant karma where I guess like you do something wrong and then like something immediately happens to you.
Mm.
That's instant karma. Mm. I'm talking about like Buddhist karma where it's reincarnation.
But then you come back as like a cockroach.
But then you can't do anything about it. Are you quite happy to just accept that there's no control?
What a lovely outlook on life.
Well, you've got no control over it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Doesn't it just make sense to just not believe in karma then? Just kind of
everything
is random.
It has to be a reason.
Well, so it's a little bit like then you're just like playing through.
Mm.
Right. That sounds a bit bleak.
Oh no.
Cause that like you've got no like.
But I thought that would help me
control
personally.
over your universe. So you're kind of like going, well, this is what it is, and I'm just going to kind of like wait till death.
Yeah.
and maybe if I do, you know, wouldn't the concept of karma make you think that I'm going to do everything I can to be a wonderful, great person in this life, so in the next life,
that's what they want you to think.
And you're not doing that.
Yeah. No. I'm just enjoying you're what just, the other ones have done. Well,
sure, okay, you're coasting off the...
Yeah. Yeah. Right, like, before this, there was just, like, a really naughty wolf.
In a previous life, you were a wolf.
A naughty wolf, crucially. And just like a mischief all around.
Oh, wow. So you feel like you're living the life of someone being punished?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, yeah.
Okay.
I just feel like all of my flights are delayed all the time. Mm. I think 100% of my flights have been delayed.
But maybe the pilot is being punished for their previous lives.
Yeah,
maybe they were the naughty wolf.
And it's having a knock-on effect on it. Maybe they were a horrific wolf.
Oh, yeah, well, Nick, or maybe you guys ran together.
I don't mind this either. But
you don't mind what?
I don't mind that if the pilot's life is influencing my life. Right. But sorry. Any of the scenarios, because you said, I don't mind this
either. You pointed at me. And it was like, oh, God, like, I didn't mean to... To make your day worse by being here. Like, no, right. Okay,
you
meant the pilot.
You're trying to get, you know, you're trying to poke holes in my new karma philosophy.
Oh, is it new? Right. I don't know. I've not been on this podcast before.
This is from yesterday.
It doesn't seem like Mickey's fleshed this out at all.
Okay.
What do you mean? Ironclad.
I think it's really good. I think it's really, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm just like, I think, you know, I also think that maybe there's only a certain number of souls for a certain amount of bodies, so you've got to recycle them.
Yes.
So you just
was in the movie Before Sunrise. Ethan Hawke talks about this.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, that there's this idea that, like, there's only, like, so many souls and we're all fractured because there's
we're being
more
spread
people,
thin.
Because there's more people now.
Oh, right. Well, that's not quite exactly the same thing that I was saying. But we'd have probably got there if we'd have kept talking.
Go ahead.
No, I've finished now. Oh. No, it's good. And I've seen all three of those. Are they going to make another one, do you think? It's been 10 years.
Yeah,
least,
it's too long. They did 9 year increments.
They did do another one, didn't they? Didn't they do another one?
There was three. They did 9 year
increments.
But
didn't they do another one recently? Or did they do like a Super Bowl commercial?
No, I think you've just been watching Ethan Hawke's life.
Oh.
What work have you guys got on?
Was that Blackburn?
I think you might be real similar personalities. And
think?
I'm just watching you sort of like smack your head against each other. It's real weird.
I think what it's called, Sarah, is creating content.
Chemistry.
Yeah, just crazy chemistry. All right, you say something.
All right, then I'll ask the first question.
Fuck off, Sarah.
That's more like it. That's the energy I want in the room. You guys are being eerily polite, but passive-aggressive. I want active aggression.
I think we're being passive-aggressive. I think we're having this is what adults call having a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, that's me told. Okay, Nick, have you ever had a big near miss?
Straight into it.
Yeah, well, no, we've been talking.
I'm not criticising. I'm just, have I ever had a big near miss?
Big near miss experience?
Well, yeah, like, I suppose I had one big near miss. I don't think of it as a big near miss. And to be honest, I've never thought about it until you said, well, would you like to do a podcast? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to do the podcast. I'd love to do the podcast. And you said it's called Thank Fuck for That. And I was like, oh, God, right. Okay, swearing in. If I tried to do a podcast with swearing in the title, I probably have tried, but, I mean, it just wouldn't get made.
Mm.
And I think, so there was that. And then you sent me the email, but I didn't get it.
Do you think that we've had any kind of, just looking around the room, like permission from any kind of
do you think anyone
real
made...
company? Like, this is
oh, yeah, now you're saying that. You could call it anything you want to call it. Yeah right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
We've
thank fuck for that, right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, okay. I was, when I was, I can't remember how old I was, but maybe I was like mid to late 20s when I was a big drinker. I was in St. Albans, so maybe I lived in St. Albans, or maybe I didn't. No, I think I probably lived in St. Albans.
Have you ever lived in St. Albans?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I did live in St. Albans. I did live in St. Albans for a portion of my life,
mm-hmm.
although I'm not from St. Albans, Wikipedia.
Will that be on Wikipedia, do you think?
I think people think that I'm from St Albans, and I don't want to be from St Albans.
Somebody listening to this will amend that now.
That's great. Thank you for that.
Hey,
hey. Thank
you. Can I get a mug?
You just made your money. Yeah, we'll get you a mug.
Oh.
Took us months to get that one for us.
And then the picture's upside down.
No, that's me. And then Sarah is right side up.
Oh, right. But yeah, also, yeah, yeah. When you wash that mug and then you dry it.
Mm-hmm. I'm up.
Yeah.
That's the only, yeah.
Exactly.
That's the only time I'm ever up.
How often do you drink out of a mug? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a 10 minute experience.
When you drink out of it and then it goes up.
Yeah.
Then you're
halfway. Yeah, you're both half and half. Yeah. But when you dry a mug, mm-hmm. I can leave a mug on a training board for weeks.
Wow.
So you're really winning on this whole deal.
Yeah, Sarah.
Fuck.
Should have thought of that, shouldn't you, Sarah?
Yeah, you should have thought of that.
I'm going upside down next time.
I was at the O'Neills in St Albans, and we were all very drunk, me and some friends, and on my way out of the pub, this must have been further ago than I think. Maybe I was 26. And on my way out of the pub, we were walking down the pub, and I was holding hands with a girl, and we were walking home, and my friend, we were walking down the road, and behind, I heard someone run. And my friend jumped on my back and knocked me to the ground. And I sort of... what I remember, right? Okay, so my friend jumped on my back, and I went down on the ground, and then about maybe 30 seconds later, when I came to, everyone's laughter was just dying down, right? Because they realised it was a thing. And my face was like on the concrete, and I picked my face up off the concrete, and half of my face had been grated off.
And, oh my God.
And you can still see like a scar up here. There's like one on my forehead. It's just a little like this.
I'm not getting anything, Nick, to be honest, but... Oh, wait, no, yeah.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Above the eyebrow, Absolutely.
And
sorry, really undermined your story there.
No, it's fine, it's
fine. Doesn't sound like this is true at all.
I think you were thinking that I wanted sympathy. I'm just trying to verify that there's a little gap on my forehead.
There
right
is a gap.
Here. And so it was like this, it was like the left side of my face and the right side of my nose, which means that I must have like landed on my nose like that. And I skidded down my face and I got up. And everyone was like going, ha, ha, ha,
oh,
oh.
Oh, my God.
And then there was an H&M over the road by the Maltings, and by the Maltings car park. And I went over the road. I think it's a restaurant now. I went over the road, and they had a big, like, reflective, sticker in the window.
Mm.
Not a mirror, but it was basically, it was a mirror, but it was a sticky.
It was functioning as a mirror.
Yeah.
For the purposes of your story.
Which is weird, because it's on the outside of a clothes shop. You think all the mirrors would be on the inside.
But maybe they want people to like look at themselves.
Oh, what
think,
a piece of shit
God.
I am. Do you know, the only thing to fix this is just throw cheap clothes at it.
Yeah. A brand new jumper.
Brand new jumper.
And a jumper for
$8.99. Yeah.
So,
that's such a good idea.
So I looked in the mirror and my face is sort of like worn off.
Oh,
the next day I had to work in a pub for the entire day and... and it was like the hottest day of the year. Oh, yeah, so I must have lived in St Albans because I was working at the White Lion pub. And, like, I phoned them up because they were having, like, this huge barbecue. And I was just like, do you want me to work today? Because I think I might put people off their food.
Oh, my God.
And, like, to the point where... So this little gap... The only thing that you can see from the thing was that I've got this mark on my forehead. But back in 2006 or whenever it was... you could just see all the muscle fibres in my...
Whoa, like, so that deep.
It was like literally, I skidded on concrete on my face. And
wait, you didn't go to hospital?
No, I just got up. And then I think...
Oh,
you
went straight to H&M.
The girl thing was weird. I did. I literally crossed the road and went to H&M and thought, do you know what's going to fix this? Yeah. Some sort of beret. Some sort of cheap beret. Some accessories.
You walk in with blood trickling down your face. You got any berets?
It was... I've got to say, it was...
What goes with blood?
I think it was probably around midnight. So, like, it wasn't like... I wasn't daytime drinking. But the next day... And we put echinacea or echinacea on my face. I don't know if that helps. I mean, you can't even see that it was a problem.
Did the trick, didn't it?
Can you? Unless I'm in certain light, Sarah.
Well, not in this NHS lighting.
You bought your own lighting. Don't brag that you're using the NHS lighting. You bought your own light. Anyway, so I had to work all day in this. So I was sweating on top of all of this. It was fucking disgusting.
Wait, so they say yes, they wanted you to work?
Yeah, they made me work.
Yikes. Yeah. We haven't bought enough food. We need some people put off.
But the next... Well, we need to remind people of, like, raw meat being cooked.
Yeah. You think it's activism.
Like, you could see muscle fibre. I thought it was really fascinating because it was just like, you know, it was like an anatomical kind of diagram or something. It was like, who was that guy injects resin into people's muscles and then displays them? Who's that guy? The bodyworks guy. They're dead bodies. Do you not know this?
Don't know, not familiar.
No, I'm just... I feel like I'm seeing it.
By looking,
you've really painted a picture.
That's my gift. and my curse. Anyway, my near miss was that...
That's not it, it's a different story.
Was that I nearly wet myself. No. My near miss was that the place where my mate had jumped on my back and I fell on the floor, like really hard enough to knock myself... I think I knocked myself out. Mm. The place where I landed was about an inch and a half away from a concrete garden border.
Ooh.
That would have decapitated me.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Jesus Christ!
Wait, you started this story with "I've never thought about this."
I've never thought. Well, I thought about it like a little bit at the time, but it's also one of those things where you just kind of like.
You must have thought about it in the moment.
If you're not dead, no, I didn't think about anything in the moment because I was out cold.
But like for like 30 seconds, round.
And then I woke up and I was just like, "Well, when I was also sort of like dealing with the humiliation of everyone sort of like pointing and laughing at my bloody face." Mm. Which is a nightmare, actually, if you think about it.
It's a horrible moment, that, isn't it? When something happens and you all laugh and then suddenly you realise it's not funny.
Well, something like that happened before. Where, I mean, again, I was like, I was with some friends and we were on our way to the pub this time.
Mm.
And there was a big group of us. Oh, God, we were at school, so I must have been like 17. And we were going to the pub and we'd been at my friend's house. We had boys and girls. And we'd had a couple of drinks at my friend's house. And then we went, what was that look?
Oh, Mickey finds British drinking culture completely ludicrous.
Well, I was about 11 or 12 and we were absolutely hammered on
vodka. 17, I must have been in school and we were all going to the pub.
Such a normal anecdote.
That's
the reason
right?
I smiled is I looked at Mickey because I was like, she's going to find that mad.
Yeah, right. It is mad. I don't drink anymore. Yeah. So I think like when I was younger, all of my anecdotes were about there was this one time and I was drinking and it was just like, and I don't drink anymore. And on my way here today, I was just thinking about like, oh God, so many of my stories used to be about drinking. I can't remember any of them anymore. They were like my best stories, and I can't remember any of them. And it's just like, except for this. Anyway, I was on my way to the pub because I was 12,
mm-hmm.
and we had our school books.
Yeah, of course.
And we were told,
"This
just,
is a normal story."
Teacher said, "We're going to do the lesson in the pub today.
We'll have a couple of pints, and then we'll get our math books out, and we'll start studying." And
we did that in sixth form.
Looking like we...
Yeah!
In sixth form, when someone turned 18, we'd go to the pub for lunch.
With the teacher?
No, the teacher would... I'm joking.
I don't know. Listen, it all sounds the same to me. It all sounds crazy.
We wouldn't have a lesson in the pub.
But I grew up in the 90s and we used to go to the pub with our teachers.
Oh.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
That is bonkers.
But so we were on our... It was a Friday night, I think, and we were on our way to the pub and... my mate said, "Do you want a race?" And there was a girl in the group that I really fancied. And so, like, what's the best way to impress?
Winning a race.
Winning a race.
Still works now.
So, I reckon you can probably get a good date if you win the Olympics or something.
Yeah, some things are universally
for sure. Oh yeah.
That Olympic Village is a real fuck den.
Feels like a conspiracy theory.
No, it is though, right?
I imagine so.
Are they not allowed? Are they not allowed to have sex?
That's boxers. Is that an Olympic sport? Might as well.
I think
be.
It is.
Boxers don't have sex because it makes you really annoyed, doesn't it? When you don't have sex and you're just like, oh, I can probably hit someone better.
Yeah. But, but that's what they don't need.
But the Olympic, like javelin.
They don't need the divers to be annoyed.
Javelin really works after a fuck. Discus is like.
I like this idea that you've tried every sport after a fuck.
Yeah, I have.
With this one, it actually doesn't help.
It's mainly just boxing.
Boxing. So my mate said, run. I was wearing these very large cat sort of trainers that were sort of like made of
cat trainers. Cats meow.
No, like the shoe brand.
K-A.
No, C-A-T. But they were like, they do like diggers and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And they used to do in the '90s. They used to do like.
You got me on the diggers.
They used to do shoes, I think. Yeah. And I think they may have done clothing. They were a bit like kickers, but they weren't.
I am with you now.
Quite as well respected.
Go on.
Anyway, so I was wearing these shoes. Well, wait. If I worked for Cat and I was listening to this, I would be like, "Oh my god, we've got to shut this story down." One of the shoes.
This is finally the thing that gets us taken off air. Yeah.
Shoddy footwear. One of the shoes. I was doing quite well, I think. I was like, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me. I'm not a very sporty person. I'm not a, not very athletic. I was never very good at running.
Oh, well. But no, it's hard for us to comment.
I ran. Oh, that's very kind. I think it's very weird that you've accused me and Mickey of being passive aggressive. And the biggest bitch in the room has turned up. You two are passive aggressive, aren't you? Fuck you.
You look great, Nick. You look great. You look like you could win a
race. Imagine me in
the '90s. Robbie Williams.
No, it was up and down in the '90s. Very huge weight fluctuations.
Okay.
I think I was probably pretty skinny at that point. No, it was. Well, maybe.
You got a runner's build?
No, I never had a runner's build.
I don't know what you want us to think.
Mm.
I don't want you to think
anything.
You've really,
gone back and forth on this.
On what issue?
That's just why I said it was hard for us to comment. It has proved difficult to
comment. You say it's hard to comment, but you've been almost like non-stop commenting all the way through. This is a very short anecdote.
That's how podcasting works, isn't it?
I've not been on one before.
We're not putting this app out.
Go ahead.
Cat won't have a
chance
to get to you.
You're a natural runner.
I'm a natural runner. Yes. I was a natural born athlete.
Yeah, you can say anything.
Spent a lot of my youth fucking at the Olympic Village.
That's it. Yeah, this is an audio medium.
Nobody's going to Google you.
No one's going to Google.
No.
St. Albans born. Is that a...
Also, you're older now.
Yeah.
Older.
Yes, yeah, so you could have been anything.
There's one thing we know for certain is that people do not Google this podcast.
Yeah. I just watched the David Beckham documentary.
Yeah.
And some of the athletes that are on there, some are like really in shape and some are a bit out of shape.
Yeah.
But they were prime athletes.
And
they
were. And yet you're still judging them.
I'm not judging them. I love them.
Yeah, but then that's also sort of like an alternate reality, isn't it? That's like the multiverse. Were we talking about that on air?
Yeah, that was on air.
We did, that was all on.
Yeah, we've been recording this whole conversation.
Yeah, right, so then that does actually constitute as a callback or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Multiverse. Imagine if we hadn't talked about that. Yeah, imagine what the podcast would have been like then. Oh, that's a bit meta. What? Anyway, so there was a girl we fancied in the group, and my mate said, do you want to run? And I was like, do you want to race? And I was like, sure. And we're on our way to the pub. We ran down this road. We were running right down the middle of the road, and all of a sudden, one of my shoes came off and went under the other shoe, and I... went straight down on my face, and I managed to lift my hands and my head up like that. But
you were like not the moneymaker.
Not the moneymaker.
Yeah.
But I ended up skidding for, like, so there was a row of cars. So the people on the pavement that were walking basically said that I was here and then I disappeared. And then about 12 foot down the road, I re-emerged.
Wow.
And I had sort of basically, I'd fallen and I'd skid. And it was not like, it was sort of like, it hadn't been tarmacked in a while. So it was like a, quite a gravelly road. And I skidded for about, I'm saying 12 feet, but it's probably about 4 feet.
Yeah, I don't know what a feet is, on so it's my, impressive to me nonetheless.
It's like, what do you have then, metres?
Yeah.
It was about, what, 2 metres?
Yeah. 4 feet.
I skidded about 2 meters.
This story has been a common life for me.
It's probably about 19. I skidded about 19 meters.
Wow.
Yeah. But I managed to not land on my face, but I landed on my chin. Oh. And I skidded along, and I was so embarrassed that I just got up. And I was like, yeah, let's just go to the pub. And I had my back to everyone, and they were like, ha, ha, ha. And the girl that I fancied was laughing, and we were all laughing. Just, oh, Nick fell over, ha, 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 ha. We're all laughing. And my back to everyone. And somebody gave me I think it was the girl, and she gave me this tissue, right? And I got the tissue, and I think my friend, he said, oh, look, your chin is bleeding. And I was like, okay. And so she gave me this tissue, and I put the tissue on my chin, and I turned around, and everyone was like, going, okay, right. And they said, well, what should we do? And I said, well, let's just go to the pub. And so they were like, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And then I took the tissue off my chin, and there was a bit of paper that was stuck on my chin, you know, like if you've cut yourself shaving. And everyone was laughing at the bit of tissue that was on my chin. And I was like, and they go, you got some tissue on your chin? I was like, yeah, sure. So I took the tissue off my chin, and my neck opened up like that, right? And basically, my face was just hanging off the bottom of, like, all of the skin at the bottom of my jaw.
Oh, my goodness.
Had sort of, like, come off. Like, it was hanging up. It ripped open. I don't know if you can see it.
I can see, yeah.
You can see that scar?
I can see that.
It's, like, helps because it's surrounded by hair.
Yeah. So it's basically, like, it's like a miracle your face is on your face.
Yeah, they said, but my mate was just like, are you sure you want to go to the pub? And I was so embarrassed, I said, yeah, let's just go to the pub.
Oh, my goodness. And they were
like, you can't go to the pub. Yeah. And I was like, fine. So then I went back and...
straight to H&M.
I went to River Island that time. It was an upgrade. I'm not sure H&M existed in the 90s. So I went back and then... my mate's mum's neighbour was St John's Ambulance, and she came over, and I hadn't seen it. And everyone would walk into the room, and they'd go, oh! And I'd be like, all right. And so St John's Ambulance came over, and she was just like, oh, my God. And I said, can I see it? And they said, no, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. And I was just like, no, let me see it. And so they gave me a mirror, and I looked at it, and it was... And it was like Jack Nicholson in Batman when he first realises he's the Joker, and he gets the mirror, and he starts laughing. And it was just like, wow, that's so bad. And so I went to the emergency... My dad picked me up and went to the emergency room. Everyone else went to the pub. Well, I went to the emergency room, and I was there until about, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and by that point, it was just clear liquid that was dripping out of my chin.
Ooh.
And at which point, the doctor comes over, and he's just like, oh, my God! And he goes, is there not anything...
These people, they see horrible things all day long.
Is there not anything you can do about that? The doctor says to me, is there not anything you can do about that? And I was just like, what do you mean? He goes, it's dripping. And I was just like... Well, what I've been waiting here for like 7 hours now.
I was hoping you would know what.
Oh my god!
And so eventually, what they did was they like I went in at like some time in the morning, and they like put all these injections in my chin, and then they got these like little plastic cocktail sticks, and they sort of like picked out these bits of gravel from my chin, and it was like, and then you could hear it like a buckshot in like a little, And then they, I guess it was like iodine, whatever the orange thing is. They covered me in iodine, and they got like a scrubbing brush, and they held my face open, and they scrubbed my chin like that.
I had to have that once.
And then it's fun, right?
I had to have it with a cut on my leg. Because they have to make it like a new wound if it's right, it's been like dirty. So like, she had to like scrub it.
Right, yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, God, right, yeah. And...
And they, UK Mickey Mickey's like, I don't like doing this podcast anymore.
They stitched my chin up, and then I kind of like was really embarrassed. And then it went septic. And then what happened was, because I was a young man and my facial hair had sort of like started growing through, and all of the beard, the scar actually went up like up to almost the lip and then across the bottom, just where the chin line is. So it was like, it was just too low to be like Harrison Ford's scar.
Yeah.
And all the hair around it grew out white. And so, you know, like in horror films or like Scooby-Doo or something, when someone sees a ghost and their hair goes white.
Yeah.
Wait, so and I think that's the trauma. I think the trauma.
And it stayed like that. It always remained white.
No, then it went brown.
Okay.
And now I'm old.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's what the white in my beard is now. Okay. So much. But it's life trauma,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I imagine that trauma of living. I imagine there's another version of me in another dimension who's got completely...
Yeah.
Yeah, dark hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, thanks.
And isn't that great?
And I bet he's having a much better time.
He's having a great time. he's a prime athlete.
Yeah, but there's probably a version of you that has like a complete full snow white beard as well.
Yeah, or like a complete face.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Two-Face.
He sounds good.
But it went septic, and so then it just went on for months.
That sounds really horrible, Nick. I'm sorry. That
was really horrible, but that's not really a near miss. Is it? I mean, there's been no negative repercussions from that chin thing.
No, I suppose the near miss of the first one is that possibility of just, like, you could have just been dead on impact.
To be honest, yeah. The first one was the story and the second one was just related because nice it was a drunken
bonus,
accident.
Bonus tracks on this podcast.
Well, the first one... No, the second one, you were drunk as well. I thought you were going to the pub.
I was going to the pub. I wasn't drunk yet. I had had two of those little French little bottles. What do you call them? Stubbies.
Stubbies, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like little beers.
Little beer.
Tiny little French
tiny
beers.
Tiny little French beer.
You had tiny little French beers on, the way, like on the way to the pub.
Boxes of 10.
Yeah, they look like tiny milk bottles.
But this is on the way to the pub from school.
No, we weren't at school. Okay. It was a Friday. We did go to school.
Right.
And when you work hard, you play hard. And so it was probably a Friday night.
Right. Yeah. Okay, got it.
But it was in the summer.
Mm.
We were, you know, full of youth and high spirits.
French beer. Tiny French beer.
Two little French beers, yeah.
Did you, with the first one, did you have any kind of existential feeling about how close you were to hitting your head? And
no, because I saw it, and then I was just like, fucking hell, that was close.
Mm.
And then you kind of like, nothing bad happened other than I got knocked out.
Yeah.
And my whole face was fucked up. I think that was enough for me to deal with, was my face was fucked up. You're not going to go like, oh, my face is fucked up. And I nearly got decapitated.
Did your friend who jumped on your back feel any kind of way about it? Did he feel guilty?
Do you know what? He was my friend from school. We were never friends until the sixth form. We were almost enemies. Although he was part of like all of like this gang of like rough kids. And I was kind of a bit of a loner. But not in.
He's back.
Bloody hell, the NHS is open. Ready for business?
Ready for business.
We were sort of like. It was like West Side Story. We were enemies.
Mm.
And then we went.
West Side Story, where it's the gang and then just you by yourself.
Yeah, the Jets and the Shark.
You're just Bernardo without any friends.
Sure, okay. I like to see myself as more of a Maria.
Please don't assign a role to me.
And so we weren't friends, and then we went to like a music festival with a group of friends, and everyone else was fucking each other and arguing. It was like going.
It was Olympic Village.
I say it was like going camping with Fleetwood Mac. And we were like we got up in the morning.
That really ages you.
Yeah, sure. Well, great. But do you know what? I think Fleetwood Mac were before my time as well. I've just heard of them because they existed.
Is that Lindsay Buckingham?
Sometimes I say like there's the original like 1933 King Kong with the stop motion, and I say, oh wow, what a wonderful film. And people say, that's a bit before my time, Nick.
Yeah.
It was before my time. It's 1933.
Just went
back.
Yeah, so then we became friends. And then this happened. But he was kind of like not an arts and craft. He did like history and stuff like that.
Mm.
And probably sport. And he made me a card out of sugar paper. He must have gone and bought some sugar paper. And he cut out the card was blue sugar paper.
Yeah.
With a bit of white paper stuck in it so that you could write on it. And on the front was a little yellow face with like blue eyes and a blue smile and a little plaster on its forehead. And he'd like cut it all out and it was really sweet. And then I was best man at his wedding.
I bought
the card with me to be like, you know, John's got a very sensitive, caring side. And he went fucking apeshit. He was just like, don't show people that. I guess it was like a private thing. But like, he was really upset about
it. Was he upset, genuinely?
Well, he got angry. He thought the whole thing was a piss take, but I was actually just trying to demonstrate that, you know, despite what you think about John, he's actually a really sweet guy.
Yeah.
But he ruined toxic that by telling me to fuck off.
It's so fun for you guys, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't exercise it.
Do you think you'd have been his best man if he hadn't tried to kill you that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not a...
Well, I don't think... We never really mentioned it. I guess I'll always hold that above him.
Yeah.
You know, that you nearly decapitated me. Mm. But
he you was ruined really, his wedding, so...
Do you know what? As soon as he gave me that card, I wasn't really angry with him, but as soon as he gave me the card, I was just like, oh, right. Maybe that was one of the contributing factors. Oh, no, because that one was in there. That one was in the 2000s, whereas the other one was in the 90s. Yeah, right. I've got my stories. I've got the timeline of my stories.
You're doing really well.
Mixed up there, but yeah. Yeah, so we were friends at that point.
Good. Good, well, good.
And I appreciated the card and I kept it.
And you're still friends to this day?
No.
Is that true?
No, we are friends.
Oh, right.
we are friends, really.
Best man at his wedding.
Oh, it's really sad.
For a second,
best
yeah. That's what you...
It was a really bad speech.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
believe everything you say.
To be honest, it was a really bad speech.
Mm.
It really did. I mean, as a comedian, I split the room.
I think it's hard for a comedian to do a good speech.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're not really good speeches, but when people aren't, like, comedians, then people give them so much, like, leeway. It's you can say something really like not that great and people are like, that's hilarious.
I at the time, this was like 2012, and I hadn't really like done much telly at that point, and I think I had recorded Live at the Electric as a series, but it hadn't been aired, so like nobody knew I was a comedian except for the fact that he told everyone I was a comedian. My speech was going to be like from the heart and really like genuine and be like, I love John and I love Megan and they're like two of my favourite people and I think it's amazing, you know, something that meant something. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to, if there was anything funny in there, brilliant, but it wasn't my aim. And then the whole day, they were two of them cunts that decide that they're going to have the speeches after the meal. And it's like, why would anyone do that at a wedding?
And get then the everyone doing a speech is fucking stressed and waiting.
Like, yeah. I didn't eat.
Yeah.
So I was at the top table and all of this food was around me and I didn't eat anything. And everyone spent the whole day coming up to me saying, I'm expecting big things from you.
Yeah, that's horrible. This is what I mean. It's like the expectation's way too high.
Oh, funny man.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the speech. And I was just like, oh, it's not. I was going to. So I ended up doing 25 minutes of shouting. And it was just that I did like, I had like all of these post-it notes and I just went on and on and on. And like half of the audience loved it.
Oh,
and half of the audience just hate it. I remember distinctly an old woman scowling at me, shaking her head, and like an 8-year-old girl with her hands over her ears, just like an absolute shock.
25 minutes is longer than a traditional club set in this country. It's so long.
It was longer than the wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
It was longer than, you know how fucking long a wedding is.
Yeah.
To be honest, though, I mean, it was sort of like a hostage situation.
Yeah, yeah.
It could have gone worse,
mm.
and there were no repercussions. But in a way, it is payback for, I suppose, it's karma.
Yeah, it is karma. You know,
maybe because he felt bad about smashing my face in, that and nearly killing me. Maybe. He felt sorry for me. He let me be his best man at his wedding. And that's when karma really came around and bit his ass.
Well, maybe it's deeper than that.
I don't have an off switch.
Maybe he's a naughty wolf.
And they're there. Mm. Beautiful.
Thank you so thank you so much, Nick. Would you like to ask the next question?
No, because you always yell at me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I
right?
I don't think what? I've yelled yeah. at you in
yeah.
ages.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've known Sarah for yeah, a very yeah. long time, and I think I was very much Team Sarah
Shut
when I walked in.
Shut the fuck up, Nick.
But Mickey, I think I've... Yeah, I think we're in solidarity now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's my natural warmth.
It's just like... genuinely, just like bring two people together. So, you know, Nick will like Mickey, Mickey will like Nick.
Yeah.
Basically the same name.
Mick and Nick.
We do yeah. like each other.
Yeah.
It's good. We're really we've bonding. Bonded.
Well, you've gone too far.
Okay.
I should have sat in the middle. All right, then have you ever had like a sliding doors moment? Just like
oh,
a small,
don't pout.
Like,
come
an innocuous like thing. It's just sort of like you don't even really think about it, but it probably did change the course of your life.
Sliding doors moment. give me an example of that.
So like, imagine Gwyneth Paltrow. She's about to get on a train. But she she misses it in one timeline and then she gets on it another timeline.
Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, it's funny.
John Hannah.
John Hannah, the worst character in any movie
Hannah.
Ever. The bit when he does does word for word, he reenacts the Spanish Inquisition sketch from Monty Python.
Yeah.
And in any normal circumstance, you would avoid that kind of like the plague, but. They cut to like a slow motion shot of Gwyneth Paltrow going, oh my god, he even knows the Terry Gilliam part. And she's like, she's so in love with him. And you just like, this is just the fucking worst fucking film. Like, she'd be better off getting on the train or not getting on the train. What's the good one?
The good one is She misses.
No, where she gets it.
She gets on the train.
She
yeah.
gets on the train, finds her boyfriend cheating, yeah. and then she meets John Hannah and has
John
a much
Hannah.
Worse life.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right, because he's doing it at
he
a dinner
is
party,
awful.
Isn't he?
He's absolutely dominating this entire huge dinner party. Isn't he?
Excuse
wasn't
me.
He invited at the
Excuse
last minute as
actually,
well?
Actually, you know what? What do you guys know? John Hannah, for women who like men, is a beautiful example of... of husband material.
Not that character
this
in that
is
film.
Not,
no,
this
no.
is not a slight on John Hannah, the star of Disney's Herbie the Love Bug remake from the late 90s starring
oh, okay, so you get it.
Bruce Campbell. But
right.
But this isn't a comment on John Hannah from The Mummy and Mummy Returns. And is he in the third one? Mm. Rachel Weisz isn't, but maybe he is.
Not worth watching then, is it?
Probably not worth watching if Rachel Weisz isn't in it. But he is playing her brother, so maybe he's not in the third one. I don't know.
If John Hannah is not the love interest,
I haven't seen it.
Curse
no
of the Dragon Emperor.
Is that what it's called?
I think the third one is.
Curse of the Dragon Emperor.
I think they go for Chinese mummies in the third one.
No,
it's the terracotta. It's the terracotta army.
And they throw every boy word they can at that title, haven't they?
I don't know why it has to be about gender.
Boys like dragons. Boys like emperors.
The fucking film's called The Mummy.
Yeah, boys love their mummy.
What could be more
what,
feminine?
What
than
could
that?
Be more boy?
Boys love their mummy.
John Hannah. Yeah, it's not a slight on John Hannah. Is it?
It's a slight on the concept of the character.
On the worst character ever committed to any movie ever met. It's
like
just
a bunch
the worst.
Of like adult human beings wanting to just talk about their lives
yeah.
and shared experiences.
Listen,
and he's
I thought
reenacting
it would be. I thought someone had to stand up, but I agree. It's an absolute atrocious character.
You would hate it if
yeah,
I did that at
horrible.
Dinner party.
I would never fall for that man.
At least he didn't do W.H. Auden Stop All the Clocks, didn't it? Fucking hell.
They
mash
fuck
up.
You up, then your mum and dad, or that kind of thing.
No, it's the one from the one that he does from Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I was just doing a different suggestion.
Just not
riffing.
In that one,
we have
he
no
plays
chemistry.
In that one, he plays a gay man, and I think he's way more of a husband material there.
That's right, Mickey.
What? That's great.
I was just trying to show that we
can
have
we do, can, we do a can we do a heavy edit on this episode?
Why do we have to do a heavy edit? You just, don't want John Hannah's
human. Can
to
you
be
edit me out?
Anyway, you're listening to the Nick and Mickey Show.
Yes, that's right.
The Mickey and Nicky Show.
The Mickey and Nicky Show.
And
Sarah.
Sarah. We said that at the same time.
That's chemistry.
Oh,
now that's chemistry.
You know what? I'm done. I'm taking Lucas and we're leaving. Lucas, get in the bag.
My sliding doors moment was that I watched Sliding Doors and
great.
And I've forever never not trusted Gwyneth Paltrow movies.
Can I ask a question? Mm. Let's just say that. What do you think is the best, like, rom-com guy?
The best rom-com guy?
Yeah, like, who like, do you look at and you go, that's a great guy.
That's a great guy.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
That's a great question. Yeah, this one's for the room. Anyone can answer that.
Yeah, write in with your suggestions. Yeah. Lucas, if you have any thoughts.
Probably the best rom-com guy ever would be Richard Gere in Pretty Woman, right? Mm. Just a lonely guy.
Lonely, rich.
Who's
so
got
rich.
Too much money. So he decides to spend a bit of money on a prostitute.
He's got no time to get to know anyone.
Buys her time for a whole week and then eventually forces her to love him.
Yeah. Mm. Great guy.
Yeah.
Great rom-com guy.
I think we're unanimous on that choice, aren't we?
You would agree, Richard Gere?
I mean, we're...
What's your favourite rom-com?
I like a lot of rom-coms, but I wouldn't say the male characters are... What you aspirational.
Really
well,
about...
Certainly not what I look for.
It's not really about them. I do find that...
Billy Crystal.
Oh, When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, he's great.
Although he is sort of, there is a world where he's kind of objectionable, isn't there?
Yeah, but that's his arc.
That is his arc.
His arc is in the beginning, he's quite objectionable.
I love that film so much.
Me too.
Keith Ledger's character in 10 Things I Hate About You is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are we talking about nice guys or good characters?
Well, I thought the question was
But I don't think
like,
I could fall in love with him.
I thought the question was more like, who would you date?
Oh,
in real life.
Richard Gere.
Who would be like a healthy
Richard
choice?
Richard Gere, Pretty Woman.
You would date Richard
or
Gere.
Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
No, who would I date? Cary Grant in anything, but
good choice.
do you know what I really like? And I don't even think it's like a, what's it called? A guilty...
Pleasure.
Yeah.
One of my favourites is music and lyrics.
Hugh Grant
because
in anything.
Because Hugh Grant is just so good in that film.
So charming.
Who's the woman in that?
Drew Barrymore. It's really weird, right? Because he did Four Winds and a Funeral with Andy McDowell. And then they were like, that worked. So let's team him up with Julie Roberts. And then that worked. And they go, and then another guy who did Miss Congeniality was just like, we're onto something here. Let's make a load of like mid-budget romantic comedy starring Hugh Grant.
Two weeks notice.
So he did Miss Congeniality and then he met Hugh Grant on 2 weeks notice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was just like, right, okay. And so then he was just like, let's just team him up with random women. So then he did You Hear About the Morgans with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Uh-huh.
He did Music and Lyrics with Drew Barrymore. He did that one about writing with Marissa Tomei.
Mm-hmm.
And they just like put him up with like, who's like a female that's about age appropriate?
They did that with Meg Ryan.
And he did Paddington with Paddington Bear.
Deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In that sandwich.
Also, when he plays Tony Blair in Love Actually.
Yeah, and again, Martin McCutcheon.
That's good stuff.
They go, Roberts.
That speech where he goes
McDowell.
Like, England is great. That's aged so poorly.
David Beckham's rightful.
I hated.
That's the only bit of the speech that holds up.
Yeah. I hated Love Actually in the cinema.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Hated it live?
Yeah, as it was happening to me.
What about the bit where Alan Rickman cheats?
That's heartbreaking.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, because everyone loves Alan Rickman.
Oh, such good stuff.
But, Emma Thompson's performance in that is probably the saving grace of that whole film.
100%.
But you've
She's
got
so
also
good.
Have Colin Firth with a typewriter. And, do you know what I mean?
You do have to get through Colin Firth.
It's just like working out what
to
write next.
You can't handle me with my Colin Firth with a typewriter.
He's good in Bridget Jones's Diary. That's a good rom-com man. When him and Hugh Grant do the fighting.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, but Hugh Grant is so like so much more charismatic, isn't he, in that part? I love Colin Firth. I went to see Colin Firth at the theatre in 1997. He did a play called 3 Days of Rain, and I wrote about it in my final exam, and I got 100% for it because I loved him so much. As an actor, as a theatre actor, Colin Firth is like incredible. And then obviously in Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
He's my man.
Yeah. Bridget Jones's Diary. We're saying the same thing.
Sure, but no, but
it's
but Pride, it's not though, is it? Because like in Pride and Prejudice, he's so incredibly like.
Well, when he walks out of the water.
Just all of it. He's just like fucking up. But in Bridget Jones, where he's playing the same character, it's kind of like there's something missing.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, really?
A scene with his hands, the Mr. Darcy hands in that film.
No, that's the other one.
No, that's Pride and Prejudice when he's helping her get into the carriage.
Yeah, but that's the movie, not the...
Oh, it's not the Colin Firth one. I've never seen it.
The one from Succession.
McFadyen.
Matthew McFadyen.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Okay, it's and what's it about his hands?
Well, basically, like, they're trying to, like, do a scene where he helps her into the carriage and then his hand, like, twitches because he's so horny from just touching her from going into the carriage that he's like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Was it horny hands?
Yeah, it's horny hands.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He played the major in the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire scandal thing.
Yeah.
And he's so good in that.
Like, I haven't seen it.
Oh, he's so really good. He is so good.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, he's really good. I love him.
That's my man.
Yeah, he's my man as well. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sarah's just desperately trying to think of a man.
He's a man, isn't he? I love him.
Well, that was a great sliding doors moment.
Really good sliding doors. Really good.
I don't think there was a sliding doors
moment. No, you didn't like John Hannah as a rom-com character.
Yeah.
In specifically sliding doors. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to comment on anything else.
No, you don't have to. Mm,
please don't.
You smashed it. Smashed it.
Well, this has been
my sliding doors moment was sliding doors.
Yeah. Just watching the film Sliding Doors.
Yeah. And then we talked about rom-coms. I think the people will like it.
What the fuck is this? That's not what it's called, is it? Thank fuck for that.
What the fuck is this?
You bringing that up and then we talked about rom-coms.
In my defense.
My favourite ever bit of an episode.
You've moved the mug around and Sarah's the right way up now, but the writing is upside down, so I had to sort of do a bit of literal gymnastics.
Same
problem. You're the right way up and the writing's the upside down.
Not the same problem. Now you're looking at me.
The fun thing about this mug is that it can never truly make you happy.
Yeah, that's important. The mug needs to not make you happy.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Has anyone got the mug?
Does anybody have the mug?
Are you unhappy?
Has anyone received any merch? Let us know.
I love the mug.
Thank you.
And it's made me very happy. Who's this hedgehog?
Lucas.
This is Lucas.
Is it a candle?
This is Lucas. It is a candle. I can't really remember why I bought it. I just thought it was quite nice.
In case the lights fail us.
In case, yeah. Mm. We, it's good to have a contingency plan.
Absolutely.
In case we need some Atmos.
Got that NHS spirit.
And you've got that loud hailer in case the microphones don't work and you need to do the podcast live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out the window.
Screaming out the window.
Should we say thank you?
Thank you.
Do you have anything to plug?
No. When's this coming out?
Next week.
No. Oh yeah. I'm doing my Christmas Fuckfest gig.
Please don't swear.
At the Pleasance on I think it's the 5th of December.
Amazing.
Ooh. So this is the 8th that's one Christmas. That we've done.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
It's going to be really great. We've got a really good lineup. I don't tell people who the lineup is because people cancel on the day. But it's going to be really good.
It's not me.
Yet.
What about if people cancel on their day? You might be straight in there.
Oh, yeah. I do think I'm everyone's last-minute comedian. Anyway, thank you very much.
You asked me to do this podcast the day before yesterday.
Yeah, but that wasn't a last-minute thing. I didn't have someone in it blocked and they dropped out. I just was not organised.
Maybe you should open the conversation with that. And just say,
guys,
this isn't a last
such a
minute
nice
thing.
Time.
Yeah. Guys. No, you were my first choice.
You are the first choice.
Sarah, Nick.
On our 39th episode, you are our first choice.
What? You knew my first. But, well, I wanted to get the format right for you.
Would you like to do my charity gig?
Well, I'm not going to say yes on
imagine
air.
Imagine if this is how you got booked for everything. You pouting and then just like very desperately, just sort of like, no, well, okay.
Well, I guess. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Well, thank you so much, Nick, for doing this.
A true pleasure.
I feel like we've really bonded.
Just.
It was just a beautiful so bonding experience, I would say.
I've had a great time.
It's the worst. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, lovely.
I've really enjoyed it. It's really nice. Thanks so much. And thanks again. I mean, this will mean nothing to the listeners, but thanks again for moving that start time to 11 rather than midday.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for being so flexible with your time.
Oh, this is real good. After you guys just had your argument, this is a nice way to end it.
I don't think it was a real argument.
Okay, well, let's argue about that.
I felt true rage.
I could see Sarah.
My hand was twitching.
I did feel like, but that doesn't mean rage, does it?
Oh, no.
Matthew McFadden has twitchy hands. In Pride and Prejudice.
All horny hands. Okay, bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
When his mate isn't coughing on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Goodbye.
Nick Helm. And off he goes. Step, step, step.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Bye, Nick.
I've got to go do someone's plumbing now.
Yeah. This is really good podcasting, to be honest.
Excellent podcasting.
This is really, really good.
Really lovely stuff.
We're even doing Foley.
Yeah.
Yes. Coconuts. Clip, clip, clop, clop, clip, clip.
How do you think people get into Foley? Like, how do you find that job? You're like, I'm really good at banging things together, making it sound like other things.
I guess, like, toddlers do that, so maybe it's just like they start me young.
Yeah, they get scouted.
Yeah.
Like David Beckham.
I love the way you're bashing those blocks together.
Yeah. I did some Foley work in uni.
Did you?
Yeah. Lots of gravel. Lots of different types of gravel and shoes.
And but was that all for gravel and shoes?
Yeah, it was a walking scene. So we would try different types of gravel. The finer the gravel, it would make a different sound for the bigger rocks.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if you care about that, then that's how you get into it, really.
I do love watching videos of people doing it online.
Yeah.
And I like Foley.
Is that like, do you feel like...
Sorry, that was really dumb.
I wasn't even giving that any attention.
That's really stupid.
It took me a second. That was really good.
Do you think it's like ASMR?
Yeah, but it's just really smart the way that they get all these like random stuff and then create the noises.
It's really smart, isn't
that's
it?
That's the whole thing, isn't it? It's just really
smart. It's nice. It's nice.
I like seeing smart things. It's aspirational. All
right.
Maybe one day I can be smart.
Well, let's not go that far. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Hey, we appreciate you.
We appreciate you. Thank you. Listening to our episode, first episode back in studio.
All the way through to this bit.
You've listened all the way to the end.
I highly doubt that. It's real questionable whether or not people get this far. So if you're here, let us know.
Wow. What a... That wasn't giving any faith to you, me, Lucas, or Nick Helm. If you listen to Nick Helm all the way through, well done.
Yeah, but I imagine people just chop it off after the guest. They go, I've got what I came
chop
for.
What?
I mean, people love the post-amble. People write in, they're like, great post-amble this week.
Did they?
No.
Yeah, they love the post-amble. The post-amble is where you get real creepy.
So people probably do like that. We always forget to plug the Patreon in the first
Mickey's
bit,
catchphrase.
Which is what we should
That's
do.
Where Mickey's catchphrase is always.
We have a catchphrase, guys. I mean, like, you have to stay till the end.
So thank you for doing that. Sign up to our Patreon, hey?
Sign up to our Patreon, the last thing we do. Somebody once wrote to me and said, I like that you don't plug your Patreon.
That's so rude.
It's because we forget every damn
can
time.
Can I say for real, though, our Patreon is really good now.
It's thriving.
Mm.
It's actually really good because like we...
we snagged a big one this week.
Oh, yeah, we got Noelle.
Oh, yeah, I saw. She texted me.
We got Lucas's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because she...
Giving us money.
She kept bugging me to send me... she wanted me to send her the Patreon episode. I think I can do that, right? I could send that to her. That's within my rights.
If she pays us £1 million.
But that's the thing. I kept forgetting. So she was like, I'm just going to subscribe to the Patreon.
Well,
that's much
really
easier.
Nice.
That's so sweet.
But you should send them to her as well. Don't make her pay.
She's subscribed now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got our money.
We got her.
And it's a great deal, guys. So you should join.
It's a great deal because it's only... It's only £3...
And if you want to connect with Lucas's girlfriend.
But you can pay £3 and then you get, we do extra, like extra, we basically continue the podcast in there now.
We do.
So that's really nice. And you can go back and listen to all of Sarah's nipple updates.
So yeah, we're going to do a bit of that now.
We're going to do a bit of, we've already given them a nipple update, I guess, in the beginning.
Yeah, I've done a public nipple update. But the private one, a lot more graphic.
Okay. Mm. Oh, God.
A lot more graphic.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tune in for that.
But I'm not going to take my top off, so you have to go up and under.
So, thanks, guys, for listening. And follow us all online if you don't. That would be mad, but please do that. And
follow us all online.
And we love you.
We'll follow you.
No.
Follow you.
No.
We'll follow you.
Sometimes I'm really impressed with how you even get creepy.
We'll follow you to the end of the
earth.
Oh,
God. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
I'll see you in my dreams.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. All right. Bye. You should continue the catchphrase. It's a catchphrase, Mickey. You got to do a catchphrase.
Oh, God.
Say it.
This is the worst goodbye. All right. You'll hear us next time. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. How about that?
How about that?
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.